Good Tuesday afternoon to everyone. A chilly Eastern Iowa. We're coming to you live from the historic Main Studio, 1600 AM on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Also on the airwaves, 107.5. The North Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today, our producer, sitting in for one more day for Scott Unash, who actually will be back on the airwaves tonight as he calls the first high school game of the year, Muscatine and Cedar Rapids Prairie girls basketball. That coming up on our FM stations tonight. Scott will be on there at 7:30. 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In show at 7. Brr, Kyle.
It's not, you know, I walked out the door yesterday and I thought, what was it, like 50 degrees yesterday?
Nice day.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, it was great yesterday. And I woke up today checking the forecast, like, oh, do I even have to wear my heavy coat today? Yeah, I do.
Sweatshirt too, right?
Sweatshirt too.
We'll get to the topics I teased at the top of the program, and that is the Iowa Newspaper Association All-State Teams decisions by the Cedar Rapids Gazette and other newspapers to either not publish or publish in part the INA All-State football teams. There's a reason. We'll get to that and explain with J.R. Ogden, sports editor of the Gazette, and Sean Keeler of the Land of Ten, previewing this Friday's Heroes game. Heroes game. Iowa, Nebraska, 3 p.m. kickoff there. News of the day. Iowa basketball team still in the Cayman Islands and has sunk to 0-2 with a 80-72 loss to South Dakota State, Kyle. In second straight game, Iowa has allowed 80 points. Defense is an issue. Shooting is an issue. This team, suffice to say, we don't need to talk about the NCAA tournament anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I saw a tweet from the Gazette's Jeremiah Davis. He was saying just what you said. Hey, let's stop talking about the strength of schedule. We can stop looking ahead to the NCAA tournament. This Iowa basketball team has things that they're going to have to address early in the year before anybody starts thinking about anything like that.
Isaiah Moss, the leading scorer for Iowa, the second straight game, 18 points. Jack Nungy with 14, Ahmad Wagner and Tyler Cook with 11 apiece. Iowa got more production out of the inside game, but truly this team has issues right now. Perimeter defense, perhaps some guard play, just right across the board right now. I think defense is Fran McCaffrey's biggest concern right now.
Well, and you think about the two guys that Iowa's missing right now, and in Nick Bear, they're going to be without him for a couple weeks still. He's a really valuable defender for that team. He can go out on the perimeter, but he's long. He can be impactful near the rim as well. They'll get him back, and that'll alleviate some of their issues. But then they're also missing Connor McCaffrey, who I'm looking at the box score right now, and Iowa today, Isaiah Moss led the team in scoring, 18 points on 16 shots. That's six more than anybody else. Mm. And if this Iowa team's going to do what they want to do this year, Isaiah Moss cannot be the leading shot taker. And so getting McCaffrey,
they're going to need his points, but maybe not 16 to 20 shots.
Yes. Yeah, I really like Moss. They're going to need him to shoot well, but he not necessarily in volume. And when he's shooting that much, he was 2-7 from beyond the arc today, which good, not great. I mean, more realistically, you'll just keep him around 10 shots per game.
Iowa will play its third and final game in the Cayman Islands tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central Time, against the loser of the Alabama-Birmingham-Buffalo game. Iowa trying to notch its first win on this particular trip. Also today, Kirk Ferentz met the media. Kirk Ferentz and players met the media today in Iowa City for the final time in the regular season, previewing the Nebraska game. Todd Brommelkamp is on site. You were there for player interviews. We'll hear audio and much more from the head hawk during the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn. But it was a mood down there. Could you gauge that at all today, Kyle?
Honestly, I don't know quite how to answer this. The only guy who I think what you're asking how was the mood? I think what you're actually asking is, are the guys disappointed or upset or anything? And I really only got that vibe from one guy, which was Akram Wadley. They're not... I'm not saying I want them to come out and be like, oh, you know, the season's over, everything's wrecked. But there just hasn't really been a sense of urgency with any of the media availabilities for most of the season, especially the second half, where you might expect a little bit of urgency, maybe a little bit of alarm. I just haven't seen it, haven't picked up on that vibe at all.
319-366-1600, that's our phone line, and our Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. 319-366-1600. You can locate Hertin and Stocker in downtown Iowa City or online at HertinandStockerJewelers.com. Our friend David at Hudson, I just want Iowa to be good at something. It's depressing.
Weird couple weeks.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I don't think David was saying that a couple weeks ago when Ohio State left town with their tail between their legs, but right. That's an entirely different story. Another story out today, Joe Morgan, the Hall of Famer, maybe the best second baseman of all time for the Cincinnati Reds, has written a letter to Hall of Fame voters. The latest Hall of Fame ballot is out. And Joe Morgan writing Hall of Fame voters to encouraging them not to vote for those identified as PED steroid users. Now, whether he's referring mainly to the Mitchell report, I understand the players identified there. Some still on the ballot, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and whatnot. And we ask you today at KGYMradio.com, our email's Hideaway poll question, the Baseball Hall of Fame's letter from Joe Morgan is fair or foul? I don't have any problem with Joe Morgan writing this letter. He was inducted in the Hall of Fame in 1990. And were there things going on during his career? Yeah, I think so. But the PED usage was much more publicized. Morgan calls these players identified as cheaters. Some of the players have denied using steroids, but Morgan is encouraging all Hall of Fame voters to disregard those identified as PED users.
I don't have a problem with his sentiment. I don't have a problem with him writing the letter. But my whole thing is, if you're going to be like that, and if you want the Hall of Fame to actually do that, you're basically saying there's a 15 to 20 year period in baseball that is just going to become the dark ages. You know, we're not going to look at the records anymore. We're not going to remember any of the best players. And I frankly just don't, that doesn't feel right to me. That, you know, there was a lot of good baseball played in that time, and I don't want to just ignore what happened. And I feel bad for guys like Joe Morgan, who, if he's coming out and saying this, presumably he did it the clean way. He did it the right way. And I respect him for that, but I'm just not willing to forget everything that happened during that steroid era. I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to just ignore it all.
There are baseball purists, plenty of them around. We had Cal Eldred on our show each and every Tuesday. He now the Kansas City Royals pitching coach. He's an old school guy. He doesn't believe any of these guys should be considered for the Hall of Fame. And I get that. They were cheaters. But listen, I mean... can you not draw a timeline from when steroids presumably started and ended and ask yourself, is a Barry Bonds, apart from all that, is he a Hall of Famer or not? Of course he is, from what he did on the field.
Yeah.
Did he cheat? Yeah. Did Roger Clemens cheat? I guess so. But apart from that, can you draw that distinction, or is that an illusion? I don't know.
I think I can take
players and ask myself, if this player never took steroids, would he have been a Hall of Famer? And what Barry Bonds did presumably before He started taking steroids, what Clemens did. I mean, can you evaluate it on that basis? I don't know.
That's actually kind of an interesting point that I'd never really thought about. A lot of those guys did have pretty solid careers before they even considered taking PEDs. And maybe even some of the ones who did get caught, I'm not trying to necessarily defend, but, you know, let's say they're coming off a tough injury. They use steroids for, you know, a year or so just to rehab. And sure, you're not allowed to do that, but it's not like that should actually, if you're, this is a total straw man argument here, but, you know, player X took steroids for 8 months coming back from a rehab, but he had, that's a small part of a 10 to 12 year career. Is the one rehab period, does that tarnish the entire career?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when they might have started and how long they might have kept doing it. We just don't know. There's a lot that we don't know about that time.
2134, every era has had its steroid, if you will. So don't be quite so self-serving, Joe. Let's bring in a guy on the phone line who probably is not going to talk baseball and steroids. It's our friend Wally. How are you this afternoon, Wally?
I'm doing fine, but I'm not really into the steroid thing. But my dad started taking me to baseball games up at Veterans Memorial Stadium at quite an early age. So baseball is one of my true loves. Anyhow, let me get to my points. One thing that, you know, you were a little rough on, oh my God, don't tell me I'm going to have the, Smith, our number six.
Amir Smith Marsette. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Marsette. Smith Marsette. Yes, he dropped a ball, terrible drop. But after he dropped that ball, somebody must have had a nice talk to him on the sideline because they threw it to him, I'm going to think, two, three, maybe four more times in the game, and he caught every one of them. And here's I just wanted to throw this out here to you guys. You don't hear this term like you used to. And I would think the coaching staff would, you know, tell it like when you're out playing golf or bowling, whatever, you kind of have a swing key, you know, that you tell yourself before you take the club away or something. As you're running out to your field or out to your position out on the field, eye to ball to hand contact. You're not going to catch the football unless you get extremely lucky. I'll tell you who is one of the best players on the Iowa team that does that. Is it Hokanson, mm-hmm. number 38, and Josh Jackson. And who was talking about making him a wide receiver yesterday? Was that one of you guys?
No.
It might have been on Big Ten Network. I think it was. But anyway, that's if you're and when you're catching the ball over the middle and you take your eye off the ball to see who's going to belt you, I mean, you're not going to catch that ball, and a lot of times you're going to get belted no matter what. So catch the ball, cradle it in, take your hit, and listen to the crowd cheer to you instead of, you know, the ugh that you hear from the fans. But one last point. You brought up about the attendance at the Purdue game, 60,000. And I'm going to go revert back to what I said on an earlier show. Why are we spending $89 million to renovate the north end zone if we're not filling the other part of the stadium up? And when we could be, you know, go out and get the very best recruiting coordinator, maybe we have that guy. I don't know. And there's, you know, no way are we firing Ferentz, but I guess my point to Ferentz is, well, I'm covering a lot of ground here, is what more can he do as a head coach at Iowa? I mean, he's pretty much hit his pinnacle the 12-0 season. Should have beat Michigan State. They outplayed him. I've seen that game a couple of different times, and we really outplayed him.
Yep.
But, you know, we ended up getting killed by Stanford, so, you know. But, yeah, you know, let's utilize that money where it can help the, you know, get players to come to Iowa. I'm not talking about paying them off, but, you know, can you improve the locker rooms any more than what you got them? I don't know. Maybe they're one of the top in the country. But why add on to the stadium that has so much character to it the way it is right now and turn it into some, technographic type thing, where the lights are flashing. You guys get my point.
Well, they're trying to improve the fan experience, and I guess every college in the country is doing the same thing. So we're going to move on now. We want to bring in J.R. Ogden of the Gazette and talk about the All-State football teams that were announced yesterday. Back from war on the Gym Class.
At American Family Insurance, we help protect what you've achieved so you can fearlessly go after your dreams. For auto, home, business, and life, contact us today. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance, Life Mutual Standard of Ohio and Wisconsin Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency, excellence in customer experience.
Don't just survive the holidays, slay the season with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance products. Fuel stronger workouts with GNC Amp Wayabolic Protein. It's clinically proven to increase strength. GNC Amp Ripped Vitapack burns more calories. And Performix Iridium SSTI delivers explosive energy for every workout. Save today with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance. Hustle to GNC or GNC.com. Sale ends November 22nd. Slay the season, only at GNC. Live well.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class. KGYM.
Welcome back. 3:21 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes with Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash concluding a short vacation. He'll be back on the air tonight. Muscatine and Prairie Girls Basketball. That was set to air at 7:30 on our FM stations tonight. Speaking of high schools, we want to talk about a topic that includes high school football with J.R. Ogden of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Afternoon, J.R.
Good afternoon, Mark. Good. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And let's just try to set up this situation a little bit. I led the program by talking about a player who never carried the ball this year and was voted an All-State running back. Second team, by the way, he's a Metro player. And that was just one of many problems with the Iowa Newspaper Association All-State teams. You can run down the issues, but tell us your perspective of when you received the release and your decision not to publish it.
Well, we had talked about it early in the process because a couple of our writers weren't real thrilled with the way it was playing out. The voting process was clunky, and it was picking an offensive lineman, for instance, was difficult. But most of our guys, they got through it fine, and they voted. And we were just sitting here waiting yesterday for the release to come. It finally came about 3 p.m. And the minute our guys started going through it, I could hear them. They were just stewing. It was unbelievable. They were picking out things that were just wrong. Players in wrong positions, which happens, but players that hadn't played or hadn't carried the ball, like you mentioned, and making second team All-State. So after about a half hour of listening to these guys complain about it, I pulled them together and we just sat down and kicked around about what are we going to do. We thought about running just our area first team picks because you felt bad for those kids who did earn first team honors. But it was just such a mess that we decided it was just not a legitimate team. And the bottom line was, let's not run at all, but let's run an explanation of why we're not running it. So we just put a few paragraphs in the paper today explaining to the coaches and the players and our readers that it was just not a legitimate All-State team. As you know, Mark, it being in this position before, the All-State process always has flaws. But this was beyond legitimate, and I've gotten is support. I haven't gotten one negative call or tweet or anything since we made the decision. Most of the coaches and players have said you made the right call. I had a coach just call this afternoon and thanked us for not running it. So it was a mess. It was just a total mess.
Well, let's talk about why for a minute here, JR, because apparently, let me back up here. I was a member of many committees while at the Gazette, and the typical process in football, boys and girls basketball, and baseball, I believe, is you met on a Sunday at a hotel in Des Moines and sat around a table, a bunch of sports writers from newspapers, large and small. And by the way, the Allstate process has been going on since the 1950s. The Iowa Daily Press Association and now the Iowa Newspaper Association, and this is probably the first year that the Gazette has never published a team. But attendance at those Sunday meetings, I understand, the JR, had dwindled, and there was an agreement to do it online, right?
Yes. One of the biggest problems with the whole process was you'd have state football championship games on, back it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday for a while. The last couple of years it's been Thursday, Friday. And then all of a sudden people have to get up and drive to Des Moines on a Sunday to sit, like you say, sit in a hotel room or a conference room someplace and kick around the idea. And it just, it was one of those points where a lot of people weren't going because it was, it was part of a work week. And all of a sudden you're spending 10 hours. And quite frankly, guys like me who are managing staff go, is that the best use of our time? Although we never skipped unless we just had to for what some other reason. We'd always phone in. We'd do a conference call if we had to. We were involved all along. And as you mentioned, I've been here 40 years, and as far as I know, we've run this All-State team every year. But it was just a process, that got kind of the point where people weren't coming. The coaches were there helping out. They always had coaches in the room that they weren't voting, but they would help answer questions, maybe make a pitch if you were deciding between, two players, and they might give you their opinion on it. It was a good process, but it too had flaws. Because you didn't have a representation from across the entire state, and quite frankly, reporters don't see teams from the West, like Eastern Iowa reporters don't see teams from the West until they get to the playoffs or even to the state championship game. So there's always been flaws like that, but they always kind of took coaches' input, and I think that's one of the things that was really missing was that discussion over some of these players. I mean, you look at a list of them, I think some people just went through like we used to do on our old ACT tests and just kind of push button, push ABC, just pick a number and say, okay, I'll pick this kid, without doing any research, which is really sad.
They moved the voting to the online, and it sounds, one thing that I'm having trouble figuring out is that it's a new system, sure, but how do we end up with a bunch of teams that have not only questionable picks, but picks that just appear to be wrong?
Yeah, and that's the thing that baffles me as well. I mean, these were supposed to be all district teams. The coaches were responsible for submitting their all district teams. And from what I understand, somebody actually submitted an all district team from last year. But I think they caught that. I don't know if they caught it, totally, but they caught part of that. I think they had some problems getting some of the district teams, and they finally did get it uploaded. But I think some people had already voted by the time some of the teams had came in late. And it was supposed to be, take a look at all the all-district teams. The coaches picked the all-district teams. Here are their first team picks. But at the same time, I think that's a great way to start, but you don't have that discussion. The coach that called me today mentioned it. His offensive lineman was a unanimous all-district pick. And when the All-State teams came out, the five offensive linemen on the first team were from his conference or from his district, and he was not one of them. And so my problem is, I think some of the voters aren't doing their research. They're not really looking. They're not really looking into who are the best kids. I think a lot of them go in with an agenda to pick their kid. I got, this kid is from my town or from whatever it might be, and I'm going to pick him. And then I think they're just guessing on the rest of them. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Now, how does a kid who doesn't have a carry end up as a running back? That's a mystery to me, because that obviously shouldn't happen, because he shouldn't be all district.
Well, yeah, and how did he end up on the ballot? How did some voters, and there were 105 online voters, as I understand, far more than wherever at any All-State Roundtable.
The turnout. I mean, the amount of people was fantastic. But you just wonder how many people are actually doing. I mean, I know there's a lot of really good reporters that I know here in Eastern Iowa, including the three guys on my staff, and they took it very serious. They're mm-hmm. looking at quick stats. They're doing everything they can do. They're getting input from coaches before they go and vote. That's the way the process should be handled. And that's why I think, you know, in the future, I would like to see this get better, and I don't want to see it go away. Let's put it that way. But I think that maybe one of the things they need to do is have somebody go through and the publisher of the Telegraph Herald, you know, one of the suggestions he made was, you know, once those all district lists are compiled and the voting list is compiled, have somebody go through it. Have some reporters go through it and say, okay, wait a minute, this kid, I don't even know who he is. He didn't have a carry this year. And find some of those things so when people do go to vote, those names aren't on there. And then have, you know, maybe have a chat or put notes on there and say, hey, you know, if you're having a hard time picking an offensive lineman, here's what this kid did, or here's where this kid's going to college, or here's some notes on this kid here and there. You know, maybe have some little notations at the bottom of the list or something like that for people who are struggling to pick a full team.
Well, I think you would agree the real loser are the kids. Losers are the kids. And a lot of, from looking at the All-State teams, they got it right. But, the player from... And I don't want to name the player that was second team All State who never carried the ball. That's right. Not fair to him.
No,
but his teammate was a third leading rusher in Class 4A, and he was third team.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the kind of stuff that needs to be caught before these teams come out. There was another kid who was on one of the 1A teams was first and second team. You know, he was on the list twice. I mean, that's just going through an editing process and taking a look at it. I mean, and those things happen, but you make corrections. You do things that, and I can't emphasize enough. I just think people have to look at these lists a little bit better. And I do agree, Mark. I think that the majority of the people who voted in that are trying to do a good job and trying to be fair to kids, you know, across the state. And I just think this process, hopefully they're going to learn from it. Hopefully they're going to make some changes. And I'm more than happy to help out. And I know our guys are more than happy to come up with some suggestions on how to get this straightened out. Because you're right, the losers are the kids. And that's the saddest part of this whole thing. Because there were some legitimate first-team All-State kids who should have been recognized.
The blame lies with the Iowa Newspaper Association. And I don't think the online voting is a bad idea. But it needs to be tweaked. I don't think you need 105 voters. I think you need representation from all quadrants. By the way, the Newspaper Association issued an apology today to everyone in the member newspapers in particular. But where do you see it going? What do your writers, Jeff Lind or Jeff Johnson and KJ Pilcher, want to do?
Well, I mean, we've talked about forming our own little coalition of papers. You know, like the Telegraph Herald, like the Waterloo Courier, like the Sioux City Journal, and try to get a representation from across the state and kind of just pick on our own team. I know that through Twitter that some of the coaches are saying that they're going to have a coaches association team next year.
Mm.
What I would like to see is them do that, but maybe work with the INA and kind of do a combination team and both, you know, have some say in this, and then we can vote on that. I would like to see that kind of thing because, you know, the coaches, they're going to have an agenda too. They, of course, want their kids to be honored, and there's going to be some questionable picks from time to time. But for the most part, I think the coaches are going to be fair and do that kind of thing. They're doing it in every other sport. The coach associations are picking all state teams in baseball and softball and basketball and all kinds of different things. And football probably needs to start doing that themselves too, and maybe that's just another layer of things that people can look at.
J.R. Ogden, sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joining us on the Gym Class today, 3:33. And I just, fascinating but unfortunate development on this All-State team. Like I said, I can't remember a time when I was sports editor or you were sports editor, and even before that the All-State team, the announcement of that was a big deal.
Oh,
and now it's not nothing today.
No, as you know, I mean, we used to do charts, and we used to do all kinds of things, and it was always a front-page story, and it would have been in today's paper, too. I mean, it was planned to be a front-page story, but once we started started, deciding what we're going to do and decided to not to do it. We had to put that Iowa basketball team on the cover, losing again. And they lost again today. So,
yeah.
it is tough because Mark, one of the things we pride ourselves on, and I'm biased, obviously, but I think, quite frankly, we do better than any newspaper in the state is cover high school sports. And it's very, very important to us. It's very important to our readership. And it's proven out every day. And so this was heartbreaking to us in a lot of ways because a lot of good kids didn't get recognized that should have.
While we have you, JR, I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about another subject. And I was in that hot seat, so I know we get these questions, but you had to answer to some readers earlier this year, maybe a couple, 3 weeks ago, when Iowa State notched one of its couple upsets this year in football. And on that Sunday, you guys have a four-page wrap that covers Iowa football. But mm-hmm. I think Iowa State fans were perplexed and didn't understand why there wasn't some allotment for Iowa State on that very first page rather than page three. Do you want to go over that?
Well, it's pretty simple to me. it is it's a 4-page wrap that was sold as an Iowa Hawkeye wrap. It's a sponsored section, if you will. We do have some flexibility in it as far as we'll put a Big Ten roundup in it, for instance, or something like that. But it's Iowa football related material in that thing, and really our hands are tied with what we do. So kind of like the game day section that runs in our Saturday that previews the Iowa game, the page three on Saturday and Sunday during the fall becomes our quote-unquote sports cover. The high school coaches were upset about it when we first started doing the game day section. That's been quite a while ago. We've probably been doing that for well over 10 years. But that we have a little bit more flexibility. We can do whatever we want. Heck, we've done small college covers for the game day section. But the final score is set in stone. It's going to be Iowa coverage. And quite frankly, Iowa is what we do. I mean, we're in Eastern Iowa. Coverage of Iowa football, and especially particularly football, but Iowa sports in general, is our bread and butter. It's our pro team. It's what we're going to cover and what we're going to do well. Iowa State. I have all the respect in the world for what Matt Campbell's done over there. They've got a great season. And they had a great display on page three. That's the thing that was kind of sad about it. It was played almost like a special section for Iowa State's big win both those weeks. But I can understand they were being upset. They want to see it on the cover. But there's really nothing we can do about it. And as I told many of them, there's nothing I would do about it because we're 30 minutes from Iowa City, and Iowa is the vast majority of our readers. It's not even close, want Iowa coverage. And number one is Iowa coverage. Number two, and very close number two, is our high school coverage. Iowa State's probably third on our list of what our readers really want to see. And we have to, we're a business. We have to appease our readers and what our customers want to see.
Give you an opportunity to we talked about the All-State football teams. You're going to have an all-area team coming up, right?
That's correct. A week from Sunday, no, 2 weeks from Sunday, December 9th. We're going to pick the team next Monday, and we'll come up with an all-area team. We do, we'll do offense, defense. We'll have an offensive player of the year, a defensive player of the year, an overall player of the year, and a coach of the year. And it's something we started several years ago, 5-6 years ago, and we take a lot of pride in it. It's quite fun sitting in the meeting because these guys have a good time arguing over who to pick. It's probably like one of those old All-State meetings used to be. And we try to bring in a little food to have them because it takes a while. It's not like you don't get it over with an hour. This is a good 2-3 hour process, and we come out and we feel pretty good about it. And so that'll be a big display in our December 9 paper, announcing our area teams, and hopefully we can honor a lot of those kids who got who were not honored today.
Good stuff, JR. Really appreciate your time, and keep up the good work, okay?
Thanks, Mark. Really appreciate it.
You bet. JR Ogden, sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talking about the problems that arose from the Iowa Newspaper Association All-State team just this week. Sean Keeler from the Land of Ten to talk about Nebraska football after this.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't waste your holiday vacation cooking dinner. Instead, waste it watching TV or catching up on sleep. And let me prepare a home-style meal for the family with a KFC $20 fill-up. That's 8 pieces of delicious original recipe chicken, 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy, a large coleslaw, and 4 biscuits. Just $20. All right, get along now. That TV isn't going to watch itself. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com. Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back. 3:40 on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Scott Unash again. Completing his vacation, he'll be on the air tonight, 7:30, to call Cedar Rapids Prairie and Muscatine girls basketball, and he'll be back on the show tomorrow. Right now, we want to talk about the Heroes game, whatever that means. Sean Keeler of the Land of Ten joining us. How you doing, Sean?
I'm good, Jack. It's the Heroes game. Here we go.
What's the storyline for this game?
Is Mike Riley let go before or after, or how long after?
Ah.
Is there another one? I mean, nationally, that's kind of it. I mean, it's different if you're in Iowa City, what side of I-80 you're on, but I think that's kind of the narrative, and whatever happens, happens.
You wrote a piece, Sean, about what you think it will cost Nebraska to get a so-called A-list coach. Talk about that, please.
Well, I talked to a sports business expert. I know he's looking at done some papers on SEC athletic departments and the Power 5 athletic departments. I just said, well, Mike Riley is, I believe, 25th or 26th highest paid coach in the country. Not even that high, actually. I think he's about 11th in the Big Ten right now. I have a feeling you're going to have to shoot a lot higher than 2.85 whatever million to get someone that your fan base is going to get jazzed about, is going to get excited about. What is the baseline number, given that, unlike baseball's free agent market, the college coaching jobs are open right now as we speak and are probably about to come open, is going to make this a crazy kind of agent's market, To go find spots. You've got Florida, Tennessee open.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA just opened up. Oregon State, not sexy, but it's been, Mike Riley's a little gig. It's been open for a while. You got a strong possibility that Arkansas is going to open up with Brett Bielema getting out the door. Maybe A&M opens up. Maybe Arizona State opens up. Given that mode, and Bill Moose knows this, the athletic director, you've got to be fast, you've got to be aggressive, and you've probably got to overpay. Don't you, given what you're competing against with about a third of the SEC, also looking to fill some pretty good gigs?
It seems like the fan favorite there in Lincoln would be Scott Frost. Let's take him out of it. If after Scott Frost, if Nebraska got who they wanted, who would that be?
That is the $4.5 million question. I think the fans would want Chip Kelly. You're just kind of spitballing at who are the A-list free agents that are out there. Les Miles, his son, is a redshirt freshman, true freshman, rather, fullback on the Huskers right now.
Oh, wow.
He's a name that gets kicked around because they know he knows the town, and obviously he's got some friends with guys on the team. Sort of guilt by association there. I keep thinking there's another one we're missing. that there's somebody who's going to be coaching in the bowl game, whether, you know, that's the fellow down in Memphis, you know, whether you make a run at Fuente over at Virginia Tech, you know, or there's a while, you know, people threw out Mike Leach right away. I'm not sure. I mean, that's sort of a bit of a lazy reporting stab by fans. Well, it would be fun to have him in Lincoln. Or is it somebody that's got a solid track record, you know, like a David Shaw at Stanford, although he's more of a West Coast guy. You know, someone like that has done a good job at a better job than Mike Riley did necessarily at Oregon State, and whose style would translate at a place that's very particular about its culture and very proud of its culture and very particular about its football. Nebraska is it's a harder job than people think to succeed at, and it's a harder job to be embraced by, because it's kind of like Indiana basketball. The bar is those banners up in the stands, up in the rafters. It's got a pretty high mark that your fan base still wants you to shoot to.
Sean, what do you think Mike Riley's downfall has been?
I think this job was too big for him. And that's going to sound strange for a guy who coached in the NFL, but the San Diego Chargers was too big for him too, wasn't it? I think that you had a nice coach, a good coach. It's easy to say this in hindsight. We all said, you know, in the last year, oh, this is a weird hire. Boy, this wasn't maybe this wasn't the right guy. I said that 3.5 years ago. Chad Leistikow said it 3.5 years ago. Stu Mandel said it 3.5 years ago. We all looked at this and went, really? You know, maybe you guys did too and thought, well, this could go one of two ways. And what it's done, it hasn't been the absolute worst case scenario, but it's in the kind of lower 30 percentile of what could happen, that you've got a team that kind of looks like Oregon State East. They don't block, they don't tackle, they don't run the ball. At its best, it was going to look kind of like USC East. And last year, you can argue, it kind of fell in the middle. And this year, the wheels have just come off for a lot of reasons. It was an interesting cultural fit. It was somebody who was hired for his personality and his ability to work with the AD and to promise recruits from one specific pipeline, because you're not going to get a lot of great local guys there, and to try to build a sort of baby USC model. It was West Nebraska's identity. I think that was always the intent with Mike Riley. But the fact that it hasn't happened quick enough and it hasn't translated on the field, you know, the scoreboard is ultimately going to talk. Husker's got a lot of wins in February the last 2 years in on the recruiting trail. But if you're not beating people in October and November and they're running over you, none of that matters.
Nebraska's had its struggles this year, but as of late, so has Iowa. And I'm looking at another article on the Land of 10 talking about Kirk Ferentz could still stand to get over $1 million in bonuses this season. We've had a lot of discussion about Kirk in the last couple of days, and I'm curious, from the outside looking in, what's the opinion of Kirk Ferentz around the Big Ten?
We'd all like his agent, all of us. But that's, you guys know, we've been having that sort of, you know, wink and a nod discussion for about, 8-9 years now, off and on. And it seems like it kind of cycles and wobbles, and then every 4 or 5 years you get a 10-2 or an 11-1 out of nowhere. This is kind of what they are. So I don't think the narrative about Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz right now is, and I say this as I'm getting ready to write a bunch of pieces about the Ohio State-Michigan game and going up to Ann Arbor this weekend, is, how did they do that? Because the 2 weeks since are not remotely representative on either side of what happened on November 4th in Iowa City, and what was one of the, and maybe makes that game even bigger as a one-off in retrospect. I'm surprised in looking at Iowa, Ohio State, might make it bigger, is that it didn't turn into a springboard the way that so many of these signature games have done in those quote-unquote special Ferentz seasons, whether you go to all the way back to 02 through 04 to 08 and 09 and even in 2015, where it's a launch to something bigger and something better and challenging for a league title, that it could just, the wheels would just come right off again, even worse than before, is kind of remarkable. And I know that's got a lot of, you know, it's got you guys scratching your heads, and it's got a lot of people scratching their heads, and it certainly got a lot of us outside of obviously scratching our heads too. But when you look at the resume, it isn't much different off what that era has been, what his history has been there, and it just makes that Iowa-Ohio State win look just bigger in retrospect.
Sean Keeler of the Lane of 10 joining us on the Gym Class at 3:49. Sean, last week Nebraska went to Penn State, found itself down 42-10 at halftime. The final score, 56-44. I didn't get a chance to see that game. Did Nebraska show life and no quits, or was it Penn State second, third teamers in there?
A little of both. Did you happen to see the Oregon-Nebraska game at all?
Similar, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much it's the same.
Yeah, Oregon was up, 35-0? Yeah.
I'd argue that Penn State's a lot better than Oregon, but yeah. So a little bit of both. I mean, I guess the upside in being built with that West Coast offense and the checking around philosophy is you're never out of covering. You might be out of winning, but you're never out of beating the spread. So you can say that for Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf and what they've built.
What kind of game do you expect this coming week, this coming Friday, actually? Those of us here in Iowa have no idea what to expect out of the Hawkeyes.
isn't that something with you'd think that given as bad as the Huskers' defense has been and that they've sort of picked up now from where that Iowa game last year began to kind of tear open the seams, and they've never really kind of gotten the defense resolved from there, at least the run defense resolved, that would – you know, play right into Iowa's hands. There's the win one for the Dipper speech, and given that Iowa's looked lost, you could argue that both sides have spent 2 weeks practicing for each other the way they've looked.
Yeah.
Against their relative opponents, although I wouldn't think that Iowa would do that against Wisconsin, who they've played pretty well against traditionally up in Madison. The Huskers are just lost. I think it'll be interesting to see if Nebraska has mentally checked in, because this is a team that started games, Minnesota, clearly Penn State, that's just mentally checked out right from the start. And I think if somebody can get up 14-0, 10-0 in that game, I think the way, as fragile as both teams have looked mentally, the team that's down double digits is going to have a hell of a time coming back, even though Nate Stanley has proven on the road that on a good day he can get it figured out. Rallying guys, and Tanner Lee has obviously shown garbage time the kind of numbers that he can put up, to your example, last week. I think a 10-0 lead or a 10-0 cushion and getting the crowd into or out of this game is going to be the difference. But mentally, I think it's two wilts last, and they've both been pretty fragile the last 2 weeks. But I still think on paper you have to think Iowa can pull something out. But whatever the Huskers have got, I mean, this is probably their last game as a staff, so, you know, why not?
Sean Keeler, Lane of 10, appreciate you joining us today. Keep up the good work there, Sean. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Again, Sean Keeler joining us and filling us in on mainly Mike Riley and the state of Nebraska football, which is not you think Iowa's bad last 2 weeks? Go to Nebraska. Go to Lincoln. Sit around a diner and see what kind of conversation you have there.
Both teams have looked pretty bad of late, but one of the programs is about to, you know, explode.
Let's take one last break, and we'll be back to wrap it up today on the Gym Class.
Black Friday, the day a different breed of hunter takes aim. Show those bargain hunters how it's done as you bag the trophy sale at Red Wing Shoes. When you think of fine handcrafted leather boots for the hunt, work or rugged casual, craftsmanship is obviously what you're after. But if you can find that quality at a discount, go in for the kill. Red Wing and Irish Setter brands are on sale one day only, Black Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Red Wing Shoes, in the fountains by Hy-Vee on Edgewood Road.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back. Last few minutes of the gym class today. Mark Dukes and Kyle Mann with you today. Really appreciate you joining us, your interaction. Guests J.R. Ogden of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and as you heard, Sean Keeler of the Land of Ten talking about Friday's Iowa-Nebraska game. By the way, should you choose to forego Black Friday, tickets are only about $35-40 in Lincoln.
I meant to actually bring that up with Sean, not necessarily even as a question, but just one of his most recent articles is that the Nebraska-Iowa tickets are the cheapest in a decade at Memorial Stadium.
Tonight, KGYM Airwaves, you have your choice. Actually, not a choice. You can do both. 1600 a.m. at 7 o'clock, the Cyclone Call-In Show. Sure to be a lively one with the success of Iowa State football. The men's basketball team winning a tournament, the Puerto Rico Classic in South Carolina. And then on the FMs, 107.5 and 106.3 FM, you can hear season opener Muscatine and Cedar Rapids Prairie Girls 7:30 on those frequencies. And by the way, tomorrow on the show, Scott Unash will be back. We'll talk to Scott Monk, who's the organizer and director of Rivalry Saturday. Scott's going to broadcast some of those games at Coe College this coming Saturday. We'll talk to Scott about that and our weekly visit with Mark Ironside on wrestling. And see if Kyle Mann can defend his one-week Carl and Ernie's pick six title.
I'm feeling good. And I look at that. Isn't it kind of interesting in just a week, the Iowa and Iowa State basketball programs have pretty much switched places?
Ooh, yeah.
Iowa State was 0-2, looking pretty, having some real struggles. They rattle off three in a row over the weekend, win a tournament. And then Iowa, on the flip side, was 3-0 and now has two really bad-looking losses right in a row.
Be interesting to see how patient Fran McCaffrey is with this team, and he really has no choice. This is a team that was going to be deep, looked to be talented, and just not getting it done right now. And there's a lot of season left. It's only November, but a lot of folks thought Iowa needed to go through the non-conference season with none or maybe one loss because the strength of schedule was not very good.
Yeah, definitely don't really have any room to afford losses to Louisiana Lafayette and San Diego or South Dakota State. They got and right now they're going. They got Virginia Tech next. I'm actually, they're going into respectable schools now.
Again, I agree. Again, visit our website kgymradio.com for not only upcoming live sports programming schedule, but our Emil's Hideaway poll question today. The Baseball Hall of Fame's letter from Joe Morgan, is it fair or foul? Right now, unanimously, folks believe it's fair. Always thanks to Emil's Hideaway and First Avenue Southeast and Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
We just got this text in. I'm going to leave you. I don't have time to fact check it even, so I'm going to take 2266's word on this. Very interesting. The Iowa-Nebraska game, the tickets are just slightly, very slightly more expensive than their spring game was.
I'll watch it from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub on Friday, and if you'd like to join us, we'll be there. No charge, at least for me. Kyle, thanks for joining me the last couple days.
Oh, for sure. And I'll be seeing you around, Mark.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow on the gym class.
Duralast batteries are proven tough to perform in temperatures of 140 degrees and 40 below zero. Because when you can start in extreme conditions, you can start in everyday conditions, like running late for work. A broken